Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 14th of September, recording at 8:30 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Asian stock markets mostly rallied. European markets were quite firm early on and then lost those gains as the day wore on. Most of them closed with quite small declines. And the US market, which had a good day yesterday, quiet in here today, giving up just a tiny bit of ground, currently down 20 on the Dow. Government bonds a little easier, it looks like, across the boards, but again, a pretty quiet day overall. The dollar looks like it's a fraction easier in here today, but it has been a fairly steady performance. Well, it depends how you look at it. It was a steady performance, and you could say it's losing upside momentum here. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But this commodity sell-off in the precious metals and energy sector continued here today, and natural gas, a bit of a disaster. Precious metals, soft, closed near the lows. Actually, palladium was up, but well off its highs on the day. The biggest declines were in silver and copper, but silver mainly off an early rally. Okay, grains, beans a little bit steadier. Okay, what's going on here? Well, first, stock markets, which is the main area of interest for most subscribers. And the overall action continues to look very much in line with this medium-term correction in its latter weeks, you know, with maybe another month or two to go before the next chapter in my script, that renewed strength into year-end and beyond, well into 2007 and probably 2008, comes into play. But let's take it a step at a time here. And because the action does, in my view, still support this hypothesis, let's look at what would happen or what we would see if that view is wrong. No point in, or no harm in taking a look at that, just so we don't become complacent, or I don't become complacent. And if, for instance, what we're seeing with global stock markets is just a very good sort of top testing rally in a number of instances within type 2 top formation right hand extension, if that's what's taking place, and remember there are a lot of people around who've been, who were saying, certainly back in June and July, that this was very much a bear market, and even more recently. Now, if they're right, then we do need to see some of these indices start to significantly erode what looks like a buildup of underlying support that's been occurring since the June lows. Now, if that were to be the case, one of the first to go would be Australia, and I don't want to alarm Australians or anyone else who's invested in that market here right now. Australia had a good day today, up over 1%, and rallying from what I described, I posted that chart and comment of the day, what I described as looking like a buildup of support. But I singled out Australia because it was one of the leaders of the whole three and nearly a quarter years on the upside prior to the correction that began in May, and it is also a major resources play. And if that bear market hypothesis is right, then the resources sector would probably indeed be in trouble, and therefore Australia would be one of the markets, I suspect, to show that deterioration ahead of the pack, as it were. And to do so, it would have to go down and break the lows that we've seen. You can have a look at that chart, but have to break the lows that we've seen from July through, say, early September, and on its way to taking out the June lows. Certainly, if we were to see it take out the lows dating back to July, I would be very concerned about a bigger and longer shakeout for global stock markets. But that's just Australia, albeit an interesting and important one because it has been in the pole position so often, and leaders often lead in both directions. Currently, though, Australia, as I say, just to repeat that point, looks to me in terms of its chart action that it's building support in a ranging fashion here, prior to eventually resuming its overall upward trend. Now, that what I just described for Australia would need to be evidenced by a number of other leading stock markets. And Switzerland, for instance, I posted that chart, one of the best relative strength performers, if not the best relative strength performer among major markets at any rate, since the June lows, and it's ranging near or above its former highs. And if it continues to demonstrate that it can find support near the March to May highs, silver had kind of a flattening out, Switzerland had kind of a flattening out pattern before it broke down very sharply. But if it continues to find support near current levels, and then in a few weeks' time or whenever breaks up out of that pattern and sustains the break, that would be a very bullish indication overall for global stock markets. Conversely, if we're going to have trouble for global stock markets beyond just a bit of messing about here, ranging, choppy action, then I think that Swiss index would have to come back down below. I just need to put it up here a minute. I think it's the around the 8,000 level, but I just want to have a look. That's not that far away. It's less than 100. It's at 8,181. So if it were to break down below 8,000, that would hardly be game, set, and match for Switzerland, but it would start to ask some questions about upside failures. And really, if I'm wrong in this medium-term correction and now consolidating in its latter stages, and I'll add, I don't think I am, but I just wanted to point out what would happen if I was to be wrong on this, and I'm not hedging my bets or anything like that. I just want to look at both sides of the coin, try to be objective here. If I was wrong, we would see more of these stock markets that have had good ranging overall advances start to roll over again and systematically take out the rising lows that have been established since June. And I'm not going to lose sleep over it until I start to see, or unless I start to see something like that actually happen. Okay, moving on to the government bond markets. Fairly steady overall. There's no reason for anybody to panic out of the government bonds while we do see the oil price coming down so sharply. The currencies, well, some of the oil-producing currencies, such as the Norwegian crown, which I've mentioned before and which Owen had illustrated quite recently, that remains weak in here because it's lost its, well, being a petro currency was very much a virtue when the oil price was extremely strong, and obviously less so in here today. But I want to go on and talk about oil rather than the currencies, because mostly with most of the currencies, it's a story of ranging. There are a few exceptions, and forgive me if you're particularly interested in that area, or send me an email and tell me what you're most interested in those currencies. But the South African Rand, we've posted that on a number of occasions, and I've maintained for some time that there is a conscious effort in South Africa to get the South African Rand down. That would hardly be surprising, as I've said on so many occasions, no country, absolutely no country, wants a strong currency in this competitive environment of globalization. They want to keep their currencies soft. Now, if they all want to do that, we get far more ranging than anything else, but some will try to weaken their currencies more than others. And they will they'll get a sharp move for a while until other factors come into play, such as other countries become concerned about the strength that their currency is beginning to show. This is particularly true when the US dollar is involved. For instance, in Euroland, they begin to bleat when the euro is moving up over 128 against the against the greenback, and I think they'll have occasion to bleat again, because I do feel that the dollar will range its way lower over time. And the biggest argument against that forecast is too many people tend to feel that that's likely to happen, but crowds can be right for a while. Okay, so moving on to the oil price. Now, I've said that the action looks overextended, and then I've introduced the word climactic to describe the oil action in the last couple of days. And I have said, though, that we, and I've also said that it's been dead cat bounce activity when it has paused or stopped going down, because we haven't seen any sort of dynamic on the upside. And I think we will get that when oil really does reach a sustainable low. I wouldn't be surprised, and I wrote about this a little bit again today, I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't occur somewhere between current levels, 63 and a bit, and the psychological $60 level. But that's just a guess, and the most important thing that I can say to you is that assume that oil has not bottomed, although it may be close to a bottom, but assume that it has not bottomed, despite the climactic action, because climactic action can continue for a while. Assume that it has not bottomed until we get that clear upward dynamic. What would that be? Well, it might be a key day reversal, but it would be a single day big upside move, a real eyebrow raiser that starts to squeeze the people who have short positions and more power to the people who've had short positions. Or, well, what I mean by that is congratulations to anyone who's done that. And had I not been the greater fool in here this time around, I would have been short some of those contracts rather than long the natural gas. A little bit frustrating, that one, but I only have myself to blame. But a little bit frustrating in the sense that I think Bloomberg was saying today that natural gas is trading some 70% below the level that we see in the European markets. Okay, moving on. Now we're sticking with this theme in terms of oil and its influences. Oil is, of course, the most important commodity in the world by far. Therefore, it casts a long shadow, just the way that the US stock market has a leash effect. I talk about the US stock market leash effect all the time. At least veteran subscribers will know about that. And the basic premise is that when the US stock market is ranging, let alone advancing, then that tends to let the leash out, just like a dog walker's leash, and allows other markets that have better fundamentals or appear more appealing at the time to run ahead quite quickly. But if Wall Street starts to weaken and people take notice that the US stock market is deteriorating, then the leash retracts, and a lot of those markets, particularly the high beta markets, will not only be reined in by the Wall Street leash effect, but they'll probably fall further because they are high beta markets. Now, I don't want to overplay that analogy, but to a certain extent, albeit somewhat of a lesser extent, that can happen with crude oil. And if crude oil is very strong, people are just interested in commodities generally. And if crude oil is on the ropes, as we've seen recently, then that can easily create the leash effect or contagion effect, as I've sometimes described it, which spills over into other markets. And the markets that are most susceptible to that are precious metals, and mainly gold and silver. And again, we have seen that recently. And gold and silver, I do feel that they're back in buying regions, but in the sense that from current levels, I would say that the really big potential is on the upside. But in the same breath, I have to say that there is no technical evidence that gold and silver have bottomed yet, so they could easily or are very likely to become somewhat better buying opportunities before the sector turns around. Now, are commodities going to collapse in here overall? Well, you may feel that they've already collapsed, but that would not be viewing what has taken place in perspective. And I think this is no more than a predictable medium-term recovery. I've been talking about this for, I beg your pardon, medium-term correction. Predictable medium-term correction. I had been talking about that for quite some time. It's not over, though. And certainly for crude oil, we haven't seen the equivalent yet of the June low for global stock markets, although we may well be close. But because commodities did better than most stock markets on the upside, industrial commodities that is, and they are high beta, they are therefore more volatile, and are most definitely prone to bigger swings overall. Now, why don't I think this is a commodity collapse, and that the bull run that we had seen in the previous 3 to 4 years is why do I not feel that that is over? Well, look at that IMF forecast here for 5% global GDP growth this year, 4.9% next year, and that was an upgrade to their last forecast, which I think was issued in April, and that wouldn't surprise me. And that growth is, of course, led by China and India, and China is certainly the biggest consumer now of these of all these industrial metals. So, and if I look back in over history, in terms of previous decades, any time we've had a synchronized phase of global economic expansion, that growth has created quite strong demand for commodities. And I've sometimes compared the current cycle to some of what we saw in the 1970s, as of other people, but I say this is much bigger. And one of the reasons this is much bigger is that China and India were not even on the map as far as the consumption of commodities were concerned back in the 1970s. None of the so-called developing world, some of which is now quite developed, was. None of them were on the map in terms of the consumption of commodities. It was mainly down to the United States, North America, and overall, and Europe, Australia. So now the difference is that we have synchronized, or the common factor with part of the 1970s is we have the synchronized global economic growth, but this time the growth and the demand for commodities is being led by the biggest country in the world with the biggest population in the world, and the global population is infinitely higher today than it was back in 1970. I don't know exactly, but I would say it's at least 40% larger than it was back then. So if you have the synchronized global economic recovery today led by the countries with the biggest populations, the demand for resources just mushrooms. And that's what we've been seeing, and that's what I think we will continue to see for quite some time. And there's all sorts of other empirical evidence of this. Look, for instance, at the charts of steel. I meant to post those today. I'll remember to post those tomorrow, hopefully. But steel prices are pushing upwards once again. That hardly suggests global recession, or even a recession in the U.S., which I don't think we're going to see. And it hardly suggests a collapse of commodity prices. But can we have a very sharp correction in commodities? Of course. And we're seeing that, not for all of the industrial commodities, but for many of them. And at the risk of making this, not wanting to make this audio too long, I'll just add that when I look at the industrial metal prices, now some of them are holding up exceptionally well, that have had spectacular moves, like the nickel and the zinc and copper, but they did accelerate. That was the type 1 ending, and these are big accelerations, very big accelerations, again, type 1 ending, and while they came down more slowly, that suggests that you get top testing activity and lots of right-hand extension. I think that those metals are in the right-hand extension phase of their medium-term tops, and that might alarm people. I think it already has that prospect in terms of the of some of the mining shares. But I would just point out that the earnings forecasts that we're hearing, that analysts are making all around the globe for the large mining companies, well, I wrote about BHP and Rio Tinto today, and their forward PERs are at 8, which is an extremely attractive level here today. And the other kicker in there is that those estimates that the analysts are producing that have caused Bloomberg to show the forward PERs as being at 8, those estimates for metal prices are at least a third lower than the levels these metals are trading at today. So that suggests to me that there's going to be another big move upwards in those mining shares. Not immediately. Some of them have ropey chart patterns at the moment, or not. They're underperforming at the moment, and could easily correct a little bit further. But they're still the outstanding performing sector over the last 12 months, and I don't think their secular bull markets are over for a minute. Although they are in a corrective phase still at present. And I've gone on too long, so apologies for that, and all the best. More tomorrow.